Good morning. This morning I want to talk to you. We're going to be in the book of Exodus chapter 5 if you want to start making your way there. Have you ever tried to fix something on your own? You thought it would be a really easy job. Maybe you told your wife, "I got this. Don't worry about it. We'll be able to save some money here. We could fix this really easy." Personally, I like to work on my car on my own. I like to do my own mechanic work if possible, mainly because I'm really cheap. And I don't want to pay nobody to do it if I can maybe do it. And one time, I had O'Blue. O'Blue was a very good car. O'Blue got me through a couple of master's degrees and such in New Orleans. And O'Blue is now with another family. My children still ask about O'Blue, and there's weeping sometimes. But O'Blue was a great car. But at one point, O'Blue's the starter was going out. And I had changed starters before. It was not a difficult thing. I mean, starters, it's maybe two or three screws. You connect a wire, you're good to go, right? And so I went by a starter. I got underneath the car, and I started to fix it. It was all good. I got on top on the hood or from above and started to connect the wires back and such as needed. And then all of a sudden, my hand was on another piece of the car, and it gave way. And my easy job, which was just a starter, a few screws, and a connection, turn into very expensive because this little bitty piece, about 3 inches and a round piece made out of plastic, cost like 80-something bucks. And it had to do with air intake, and so you needed it so that the car would run. And so I wasn't really excited about that, but I had to go and buy this piece. Of course, the only place that had it was the dealer. And so I had to go and spend stupid money on this particular piece. And what I thought was going to be very easy and would have been really quick and would have saved some money turned into a little bit more time than I ever thought it would. And I had to spend a lot more money than I ever wanted to. Have you ever done something like that? Ever anything like that ever happened in your life where you're like, "Hey, this is not as easy as it was supposed to be. Somebody lied. There was a mix-up somewhere, and things are not as they should be." Today in the sermon, or in our time together, what should be something easy ends up taking a lot more time for Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he has a simple message. His big day is there. He has a simple message, and that message is, "God said for you to let the people go." And Pharaoh puts up some resistance, probably a little more resistance than he ever thought that he would. Now, God had told Moses that, hey, things are not going to be that easy, that you're probably going to struggle with some things. Matter of fact, Pharaoh is going to harden his heart to the point that I will begin to harden Pharaoh's heart. But Moses, I can imagine saying, "Hey, we got this, Aaron. We'll go in, we'll tell him, and he'll let us go," right? Well, let's read first 5 verses of this passage. It said this: "Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, 'This is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness.' But Pharaoh responded, 'Who is Yahweh that I should obey him by letting Israel go? I do not know anything about Yahweh, and besides, I will not let Israel go.' And then they answered, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go on a 3-day journey or a 3-day trip into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God, or else he may strike us with a plague or a sword.' And the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why are you causing the people to neglect their work? Get to your work. And Pharaoh also said, look, the people of the land are so numerous, and you would stop them from working. And so Moses comes to this situation. He's gonna tell Pharaoh, hey, it's time for you to let people go. God said to let us go, and so aren't you gonna let us go, right? Well, that's not exactly the way things happen. What happens is, oftentimes when we go and we tell people about God and what God has done, the world will reject. Hey, you've probably experienced that before. Maybe you said something about God, or you've had a testimony, or you say something how God is moving in your life, and the world wants to say, you're crazy, that's not God, what you're doing is nuts. Why would you waste your Sunday morning when you could have slept in and you go to church? You are nuts. And the world is going to reject God and what he says. And that's exactly what happens to Moses and Aaron. It's their big day. It's the day they've been waiting for. Finally, they get the audience with the Pharaoh that they hoped and wanted to have. And they begin to tell Pharaoh about what God has done and what God has demanded. And they tell him all the things that God has done. And Pharaoh says, why in the world would I let you go? He said, but we want to go and we want to have this festival. And at this festival, we're gonna begin a sacrifice, and we're going to have just like a few days journey into the wilderness. And when we get there, we're going to sacrifice and do what God says for us to do. And this idea of the sacrifice festival is a pilgrimage, an idea of going to an important place. Perhaps they were going to go to Sinai where Moses met with God. But regardless, Pharaoh says, I don't think so. Moses waits for the okay. He waits to say, okay, y'all can go. But that's not what he gets. He gets a very different answer. And what Pharaoh replies is, who is Yahweh? Who is Yahweh? I'm the God here. Yahweh, your God may be the God over there, but I am the God here. In popular Egyptian thought and Egyptian religion, Pharaoh was the God of the day. He was God in human form. He was the son of the gods. And Pharaoh says, I'm the only God around here. I don't know your God. I don't know who this is. Who is Yahweh that I should obey him? In other words, who is this guy? Why should I take your God seriously? And when people respond to you that way, how do you respond back? How do you respond when people say, why should I take your God seriously? Some of us don't even take God seriously ourselves. If we took God more serious, we would really obey what he tells us to do. We would do the things he called us to do. We would live a different way. We would speak a different way. We would give a different way. We would love a different way. And we are questioned time and time again by people. Maybe they don't use these words, but they have this attitude. Why should I take your God seriously when you don't? And I wonder in your own life, how seriously are you taking God? Why should others around you take God seriously when we don't? Think about your life. What are the things, what are the areas in your life where you're not taking God seriously? Where you may say you believe something, but your actions are way different. Moses says, But you don't understand. You don't understand this God that we serve. Let me tell you about what he did And Moses begins to tell Pharaoh everything that God had told him. I can imagine Moses is telling Pharaoh, a long lost friend of sorts, perhaps a guy that he grew up with when he was a child, known him for years, begins to tell him about the burning bush, begins to tell him about all the things that happened to him in the wilderness, and begins to tell him about how God has called him to do what he is there to do. And Pharaoh goes on to say, I don't know anything about your Yahweh. I don't even acknowledge him, and I'm not letting Israel go. How do you respond when you've told about all the goodness of God? How much he loves folks, the fact that he came and he died for them. What do you do when they refuse to acknowledge that God has authority? What do you do when people around you refuse to acknowledge the authority of God? Do you back away? You say, well, your Bible is old. That's written by some old guys a long time ago. Our world and our culture is changing. We don't believe those things. What do you do when the authority of God is challenged? Do you back away? Do you change your position? Do you say, well, if you don't believe that God's authority is authoritative, if you don't believe the Word of God is authoritative, well, I guess I'll just have to agree with you. Do you back down from the truth, or do you give in to what they say, or do you stand firm? Do you let God's authority in your life remain the thing that keeps you going? Or do you let it hamper you? Do you allow it to take control of you, and you allow others' opinions of God's authority to thwart what God has said in your life? What do you do when other people refuse to acknowledge the authority of God? Moses, I think, is caught off guard. He thought this was going to be easy. He thought it was going to be quick. And what he does is he begins to say, Pharaoh, you're supposed to let us go. If you don't let us go, bad things are going to happen to us. And he begins to give this warning to him. And he says, hey, if we don't obey God, God may strike us with a plague, or he may strike us with a sword. In other words, if we don't obey God, God's going to come after us. And you can imagine, you're beginning to think, so what does that have to do with Pharaoh? Well, you see, Pharaoh has a lot invested in these folks. Matter of fact, they're a big investment for him. You see, they are the guys and the women who build his cities. They are the people who take care of the things he wants them to take care of. They are his slaves. And if you have slaves, you don't want your slaves to be hurt. And so Moses is thinking, hey, if I give him this warning that if we don't go and worship Yahweh, Yahweh's going to come after us, maybe he'll let us go. And instead of that happening, Pharaoh says, this is just a ploy for you guys to neglect work. You're just trying to get out of work. You're just trying to not do what you're supposed to do. When I was a teenager, we used the word scurve. You're just trying to scurve. You're trying to get out of the real work that you're supposed to do. I worked at ABC for several years, the way it was supposed to happen was we were told to go do a particular job, and when we were done with that job, we were to seek out the person that gives the jobs and say, okay, I'm done with that, what do I do next? But oftentimes, people would not exactly seek out the job giver really quickly, and they would find something else to do for 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and then maybe they would come back and say, hey, I got it done, what you want me to do next? And instead of doing what we're supposed to do, we scurve. And that's exactly what the Pharaoh is accusing the people and Moses of doing. You're just trying to neglect work. And he says, look how many people we got here. Y'all just trying to get out of working. What in the world is happening? He says, you get back to work. You go back and do what I called you to do, or what you're supposed to do. And Moses does what he was supposed to do. He goes to Pharaoh and he speaks boldly to the face of power. He speaks boldly to the enemy of the people of God. And he is rejected. He's rejected. I don't know how many times we've gone on mission trips and we've taken people somewhere and they go out and they begin to share the gospel and they begin to share their faith. And instead of people wrapping their arms around the truth and embracing it and coming to find knowledge of Christ, they reject it. And they've spoken boldly and they've done what they were supposed to do, and the world rejects them. Moses is rejected after speaking boldly, and Pharaoh just treats him like a distraction. Sometimes when you share your faith, sometimes when you share the gospel, when you share the story, when you share what God is doing in your life, and you share about the goodness of God and the grace of God, people will treat you like you're just some distraction. You're somebody who's in the way. You're somebody who is just taking up time, somebody who is neglecting what you should be doing, and somebody who is just trying to bring them down. What do you do? What do you do when we have done what God has wanted us to do and we seem to fail? What do you do? This is the main takeaway from today. And that is, you need to remember who you represent. Moses goes, and he seemingly fails. Everything he's done has come to a failure. And he needs to understand, and what we need to understand is that when Pharaoh rejected Moses, Pharaoh is really rejecting God. And when people reject you, you are not really the one being rejected, but God is being rejected. You say, where do you get that from? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it talks about our role as believers. And Paul is talking about this idea of being reconciled one with another. And God tells us that we are his ambassadors. That we represent God. And when we are his ambassadors, our job is to tell people, be reconciled to God. Your job as an ambassador is to share what God has done for you and share your faith and share the gospel and tell people about God's goodness and God's grace and that he loves them and he's called them into relationship. And the thing about this, the reason there are ambassadors around the world is because the leader cannot be in the same place or in multiple places at the same time. Now, I know God is omnipotent and he does what he wants, but God has chosen to work through his people. And so you think of it like our government. The president has ambassadors. He has ambassadors in lots of different countries. And the role of that ambassador is to be the stand-in or be the authority of the president. So when the ambassador comes and speaks to the leaders of the other country, he has the same authority as the president does. And his job is not to do his own will, not his job to do his own thing, but his job is to do what the president has told him to do, and his job is to represent the president well. This world will reject you. But you need to remember who you represent. That when we come and we share and the world rejects, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. And no matter how much we put into it, the world will still reject us. But God has called us to go to the world. Go to the nations. Tell everyone about him. And he says, you're my representatives. And don't worry if they reject you, because if they reject you, they're really rejecting me. Your job is to be faithful to the task that I've given you. And that task is to call people to be reconciled. So how are you doing in that? How are you doing? Are you letting the world's rejection toward you and of you put you down? Are you letting the world's rejection define who you are? Are you letting the world's rejection of you shut you up when God has called us to go and share the gospel? No matter what happens in the life of Moses, Moses is God's representative on earth at the time. And Moses is going to be rejected time and time and time again. And regardless of the rejection, Moses is always the one who is not rather rejected, but he is the one who is representing the one who is rejected. And I want to encourage you in this. No matter how many times the world says no, your job is to represent God and to be faithful. Represent God and be faithful. What kind of representative are you being? As Drake plays, I invite you to stand and respond to God. You can respond to God in prayer. It could be a prayer of thanksgiving that he has called you to be a representative. Maybe it's a prayer of repentance and saying, God, I've not represented you well. Please forgive me. Help me to represent you well. Help me to have boldness in sharing the faith that you've given me. Maybe you've backed down when people have said that God's word is not authoritative. Maybe you said that's not important, and you've allowed it to not be important in your life when God says, my word will last forever. So as Drake plays, will you stand and respond to God?